This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live performance. I am joined today by violinist Ariel Horowitz and her accompanist Miles Graber. Ariel, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are originally from where? I've read Bloomington. I've read Columbus.
Well, I moved around a lot as a kid, but I have lived in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Bloomington, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, and I actually lived in Jerusalem, Israel for a while too. But actually my mom lived in Ashland for a while when she was younger.
So that's the Ashland connection.
That's the Ashland connection. My mom is an Ashland girl. She was here from 1971 to 1976, and she did her undergraduate here at Southern Oregon University.
So why all of the moving? Why all the different locations?
I guess mostly because of my mom's work. And then it was sort of because of violin. I moved to Bloomington officially when I started studying really seriously. The music school there is really incredible, the Jacobs School of Music. So I was there, for that reason. And I usually just say I'm from Bloomington because it's the place that I feel the most connected to, because I have so many musical memories there. But yeah, I really love Bloomington. It's very special. I love all the places I've gotten to live. I'm very privileged.
With a last name of Horowitz, perhaps classical music was something that you were destined to create.
So.
Right? It's a big name to live up to. How did you first get started playing violin, and where were you when you did?
So that was in my DC days.
Okay.
When I was a very, very small little person. I had this video called Baby Mozart. It's one of those Baby Einstein videos that you give your kids to like make them smart. And they have like Baby Bach, Baby Einstein, Baby Mozart, a bunch of stuff. So I got the Baby Mozart one as a gift, and I was super into it because there was this one piece of Mozart that had a dragon at the end of it that made this noise. Bleh! And I thought it was like super funny. So I would always tell my mom to play the Baby Mozart video, and I just would get super excited and like jam out to it. And then we were stuck in the car one day in a traffic jam, and the only radio station that we could get was a classical music station. My mom was not super into classical music before I came along and brought it into her life. So she's like, eh, okay, it'll be whatever. But then the piece came on that I was familiar with because of my favorite dragon, and I got really excited, and I was like, Mom, that's the dragon. And she was like, oh, cool. That's a little strange that you recognize that. I was like 3 or something. And then I was like, what's the instrument playing it? And she's like, that's called the violin. And I was like, cool, I'm going to do that. And she was like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about because you are still in diapers. But yeah, I guess I just kind of stuck with it. I don't actually remember that, any of that. That's just kind of become legend in my family.
So at that age, when you do start playing, you're on one of those like quarter size violins,
I was on
right?
a 32nd size violin. Yeah, those are like maybe 6 inches long, 6-7 inches long.
Do they sound good at all?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. They're like bright red too. They're like factory painted. They're super cute.
Well, let's fast forward a little bit. Because obviously your talent is on display here tonight in concert, 7 o'clock at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of Chamber Music Concerts. You end up at Juilliard School.
I did.
Not bad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Obviously the winner and participant in numerous performance competitions, but you also end up as the private student of Itzhak Perlman.
I did.
That's an incredible opportunity. How did that come about?
Thank you. Well, it's really such an incredible thrill to study with Mr. Perlman. He's been one of my childhood heroes ever since I started listening to a bunch of recordings and getting really serious about music. He's such a special person, and I've learned so much from him. He teaches me like everything from what wine goes best with what pasta to
you are like, how old again?
I mean this is for like future for the future. His favorites to yeah, we also, of course, talk about so much music and so much performance experience. And he always says, like, the best way to kill a phrase is to practice it too much. Mm. He really believes in spontaneity in music, which I am also becoming more and more an advocate for. I think it's important to leave something for the stage and to not necessarily just have everything super planned out. Yeah, my time with him has been really incredible. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm very lucky. He's such an incredible person.
Well, thankfully for us, you're not going to leave everything for the stage. You're going to play us a couple of pieces today. What do you want to start with?
I'm going to start with the last movement of Mozart Violin Sonata, K454 in B-flat major. It's called the Allegretto. It's really pretty.
Thank you. Ariel Horowitz with pianist Miles Graber live on Jefferson Public Radio. They're in concert tonight in recital at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of Chamber Music Concerts. The performance starts at 7 o'clock. Information and tickets at chambermusicconcerts.org. Before the piece, we talked a little bit about your studies with Itzhak Perlman and some of the musical and non-musical things that he has instructed you. When you get to a certain point with your performance ability, your technical chops, and your just ability to dazzle, it moves beyond that to focusing on music almost more cerebrally, like how to be musical as a person. You can play all the notes, you can play them fast, you can play them well, you can play them in tune, but there's this other component of becoming a true musician. And he's done that over a decades long career.
He certainly has.
What kinds of things do you really talk about when you're in the room with instrument in hand?
I guess primarily just really feeling what's inside and expressing that externally. It's hard to really put it into words because I think it's, you can only get so far when you talk about music. I think music is something very visceral that you experience on a very deep level. Which actually I think makes teaching music very difficult. It's a difficult art. We do a lot of playing and sometimes I'll just be like, no, give me the fiddle. And then he'll just like demonstrate something and then he won't say anything. He'll just play it. And then I'll be like, okay, that's how you want it to sound. And then I'll play it. And it of course sounds a lot worse because I'm not Perlman. But I sometimes learn best just from hearing people play just because it's so difficult to talk about music. And then sometimes we just like talk about life and like life philosophies and he'll be like, you know, over the years I've learned X, Y, and Z. And then I'll be like, okay, now start from here. And then like with that life context in my mind, I'll play something differently. And then sometimes we'll do like the super boring nitty gritty stuff of like, okay, you need to practice that with the metronome from this tempo to this tempo, or like practice it in rhythms or, you know, stuff like that. But usually at this point it's much more artistic and I feel very inspired when I leave lessons, and very inspired to be an individual artist. I don't feel like I play like him. Feel like everyone in the studio plays so different, which is really special.
You have not yet chosen a specialty. You play chamber music. You play as soloist with orchestra. When you're in studies with Perlman, obviously you're not in front of an orchestra. So there's that additional component of how do you blend with 85 people behind you and a conductor on a podium? Is that difficult to learn and to get a lot of practice time?
Well, it's different every time you play as a soloist with an orchestra. It's such a individualistic type of playing. There's really nothing else like it. Because there are like 85 people, like you said, and you're just kind of this one person and you have the conductor who's beating time and keeping everyone together and trying to understand your interpretation of the piece and communicate that to the orchestra in real time. It's very thrilling. You never really know what to expect. No matter how many times you rehearse or no matter how good the orchestra is, it's always different every time. You can't really practice for it. You kind of just have to do it. And I remember the first couple of times I was a soloist with orchestra, I felt very, very bad about those performances just because I wasn't used to it. Young performers don't often get a lot of chances to be a soloist with an orchestra. Yeah. So the first couple of times are so crucial to really learn those skills.
I mean, as a young performer, everybody goes through that stage fright thing with an audience out in front of you. But when you start to perform as soloist with an orchestra, you've got a big group of people behind you that in your case are much older than you and have been playing for much longer than you. Is that unnerving? To feel the eyes not only on the front of you, but also on the back of you?
I'm always more nervous about when I'm playing a concerto with orchestra. I'm always more nervous about what the people behind me think than what the people in front of me think, even if there's a reviewer. I always get so nervous, especially like at this point, it's getting to the point where sometimes I'll have colleagues in the orchestra, like people who I studied with as a kid. And like, I just had that experience. I played the Sibelius concerto a couple months ago back home in Indiana, and there were a few of my really close friends in the orchestra. And I was like, oh, they know me and they know my playing. Oh, no. And then I had an experience over the summer. I played Mendelssohn Concerto with Baltimore Symphony. And those are some really incredible players, really amazing musicians. And it was very, very intimidating to walk out onto the stage for that first rehearsal. Because they're like, who is this kid? What is she doing? Why is she here?
Ariel Horowitz is my guest today on Jefferson Public Radio. She's here in the studio along with Miles Graber at the piano. What will you play next for us?
Next, I will play the Brahms Sonata in G major, Opus 78, the first movement. Thank you.
That is Ariel Horowitz and Miles Graber live on Jefferson Public Radio. They're in concert tonight, 7 o'clock at the SOU Music Recital Hall in Ashland. Information at chambermusicconcerts.org. So tonight it's Mozart, Brahms, Dvorak, Chausson, and Wieniawski, correct?
Yes.
That is an interesting collection. How do you go about putting together a recital program?
So this is the first recital program that I've ever actually put together completely on my own.
Okay.
So I feel really like a big kid, which is exciting. Yeah, I honestly just kind of picked my favorite pieces and I put them together. Nothing too fancy. I was trying to think like if there was a theme of the pieces, but I guess the theme is like Ariel's favorite jams.
You don't hear that phrase often in the classical music world.
Yeah, they're nice pieces. They're pretty and they're fun to play. I've played a couple of the pieces on the program before. I've played the Dvorak. I used to play that a lot when I was a little kid. And the Chausson I played in high school a lot. But everything else is new. So that's exciting to perform new repertoire that I've always wanted to learn.
So that little teeny violin that you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yes.
You named it.
I did.
You gave it a name. Do you keep that up? Do you name all of your violins?
I do.
Yeah?
I usually do. My current violin's name is Ferdinand, but he goes by Ferd. Because he's casual.
How do you come to be in the possession of violins now? I mean, obviously, there are a lot of very well-known violins. Some of them go out on loan to players. Sometimes you're lucky enough to find one that you can purchase privately. Where do you look? Where do you search? And what level of violin are you at? I mean, at a certain point, your abilities outpace the capacity of the instrument.
I think, I mean, instruments, especially violins, are getting more and more expensive, but I think that the most important thing is to find an instrument that you really connect with. It doesn't necessarily matter the quality of the instrument. If it's an instrument that really speaks to you, you'll make beautiful music. I don't know, I always like to compare it to like in Harry Potter when Harry goes into the shop and like tries out all the wands. And then in the movie, you see him take the wand and his hair starts glowing bright red. And like, you know, that's the wand for him. It's kind of the same thing with violins. I've seen colleagues of mine like play Strads and not really connect and then play like kind of cheaper modern instruments. And it just sounds like magic. So it really depends on the player and it depends on the instrument. And good instruments can really be found anywhere. I think it's very personal. It's really what feels good to you.
I had a conversation a couple of years ago with a violinist that was playing a Stradivarius that was on loan from a museum or a private collection or something. And the conversation was along the lines of the common perception of these things is that you pick them up and you sound brilliant.
Right.
And that's not really the case. They're very, some of them very difficult to play. And unless you manhandle them, you can't get out of them what you want.
Yeah.
So you really do have to try to find an instrument that matches your own touch and feel and your ability to emote through music. Before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about your connection with Miles. He is listed in some of your biography material as your preferred accompanist. I think it would be safe to say that he, speaking generously, could easily be your father. You guys are obviously very different in age, but yet you work together musically. How did you come to know one another, and why are you together for this recital?
Well, I met Miles in May of 2014. We were playing together in San Francisco for a conductor out there, just like kind of like an audition, not exactly. It was more just like a meet and greet. Here's how I play. Maybe you'll be interested in hiring me someday kind of thing. And so we really just met for that. We had not rehearsed beforehand. I was just like, hey, can you play the Prokofiev concerto with me? Because that's what I'm going to play for this guy. And he was like, yeah, sure. We'll just meet and do it. And then we just really got along. It was really fun. And we had a great experience together. And since then, we've done a lot of playing together. And I don't know, he's an amazing guy, and he's an incredible pianist, and I just really enjoy his energy.
And he's based in
San Francisco
Bay Area, and you're based in
New York.
That doesn't sound very convenient.
No, but usually we play together. Well, I mean, we've played together in Italy. That's the farthest we've ever played together. We actually play a lot together in California, weirdly.
Well, thank you both for coming in and doing this for us today.
Thank you.
Ariel Horowitz is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio with accompanist Miles Graver at the piano. They're in concert tonight at 7 o'clock at the SOU Music Recital Hall in Ashland as part of Chamber Music Concerts. Information and tickets on the show and upcoming concerts at their website, chambermusicconcerts.org. Will you play us something else?
Absolutely. I will play the Vinyavsky Polonaise No. 2 in A major, Opus 21.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is Ariel Horowitz and Miles Graber today, live on Jefferson Public Radio. Music of Vinyovsky. You can hear that among many pieces tonight. They're in concert at 7 o'clock, the SOU Music Recital Hall in Ashland, as part of Chamber Music Concerts, chambermusicconcerts.org, for tickets and information on Ariel and Miles. Ariel, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to meet you, too. Thank you.